Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
You know, her name is synonymous with good taste and good manners. She was one of Australia's original top models in an age where supermodels didn't actually exist. She's tread that very fine balance between work and play, building a business from scratch, raising a family, and rubbing shoulders with plenty of rich and famous people along the way. She is the one and only Miss June Dally Watkins, and she joins us now. It's lovely to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You know, I know that your diary is very full, and so I do appreciate your time, because there's a lot of things on your, a lot of demands on your time these days.
It is rather overloaded, but for me this is a great joy to come out here and to talk to you and about all things that are beautiful and special, and special in my life. And because I work so hard and my life is so full, if I didn't love and care and I didn't have Christian values, maybe I wouldn't be able to find the energy to do all the things I do.
Okay, well, we'll explore that a little bit. Business-wise, how is things going for you in the deportment industry, if
yes,
I can put it like that?
Yes, you see, some people say, oh, June Dally Watkins, you know, if she's had her school for 57 years and she's teaching all the same things, surely her school must be old-fashioned. But I'm not going to change it for anyone, because my schools, they just grow and grow. And the demands for what I do now, we've run courses over in New Delhi in India.
Have you?
Yes. We're running a course at the Australian International School in Hong Kong. And we've now been invited to go to all of China. And I'm trying to find the energy and the right people with whom to do that. But you see, I think that the world is concerned about the spiring downhill in, towards a lot of attitudes, like myself and all the people who've been involved with my schools over those years. They don't want to lose those values. And other countries don't either. They can see what's happening to their young people, and they want them to be inspired to be the best they can be in every way, not only in their appearance, but in the manner of speech and the words they use, and their actions, and just the way they feel, and they want to be good human beings.
Well, that's very interesting, the amount of opportunities that still lay open before you. May, right from the beginning, may I ask you a very sensitive question? You don't look a day over 36, but how old are you?
25.
25.
Yes, 25 forever.
25 forever?
Yes, well, I decided that the year I was 25 was the most exciting year of my life. And I thought, I'll just stay 25 forever, because I'm of the belief that if you think age, you become it. You have to think no age is ideal, just to be who you are and what you are. But if you start thinking about age, it could pull you down and you could think, oh my goodness, I'm 26 now. this is terrible. So in my mind, I don't believe in age.
Wow. Okay. Now, what happened when you were 25? Why was 25 the most exciting year
of your life? Well, you see, when I grew up in up there in Watson's Creek, that's a tiny little hamlet in northern New South Wales, I used to be so dumb and stupid because I went to a one-teacher bush school, so the education wasn't all that great. And I used to read about movie stars in Hollywood. And stupid me, I would go out at night and look up at the stars and I'd think, I'd love to be a movie star, but I wonder on which star is Hollywood. And I would dream about being a movie star. I read about it in the Woman's Weekly that used to be delivered by the mailman. And so there I was in my 25th year, I was in Hollywood. And I met lots of movie stars and went on the set of various movies. I was in New York and the same, and wherever I went, my friends from Hollywood would say, now, June, you must meet this and this person, and so forth. And eventually that year I was in Rome, and they were making Roman Holiday. And Audrey Hepburn had just left to go on to make another movie, but Gregory Peck was there.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And you met him?
And he was very attentive to me, and it was a very nice romance. And for the final breakup party of Roman Holiday, Audrey wasn't there, so I was invited by Gregory Peck. So I sat between Gregory Peck and William Wilder, who was the director of the movie. So it was a year of movie stars and meeting wonderful, exciting, glamorous people.
Wow, all for the country girl.
Yes, all for a country girl. And you see, I'd already decided that I wouldn't get married until I was 30. So I was 25 and single. And I found out that Hollywood was in LA, USA, and it wasn't on a star.
We've got to keep on going with the whole Gregory Peck thing while you've taken us there. Then was it because you weren't yet 30 that you didn't have the relationship with Gregory Peck continue on?
Oh, well, Gregory Peck, Greg, he said to me, June, why are you going up to Amsterdam? I think you should come with me to Paris. He said, I'm leaving for Paris next week and please come with me. But I was always one of those people, if I made a promise, I'd be there. And one of my modeling friends, best friends, was in Amsterdam. I told her I'd be there to meet her that week. And so I didn't go with Greg. And he went to Paris alone. And he met a young lady and asked her to marry him. And that was it. Yeah. So Greg married her. And of course, but Greg Peck and I still stayed good friends for the rest of his life. And amazingly, he died on my birthday, the 13th of June, about 3 years ago. And now I have two grandchildren who live in Italy, in Florence, and you know how the world goes around in circles. They go to school with Audrey Hepburn's grandchildren. Isn't that I am amazed at the incredible coincidences or God's gift. I just feel that the Lord works in miraculous and wonderful ways. I think he does that to all people, but a lot of people don't even know. They're not alert. They're not kind of aware of what's happening. Incredible things happen to me every day. I know I couldn't be the success I've been and been able to work as hard as I have if the Lord hadn't been in my life. He's my best friend. How could anyone get away from Watson's Creek without the support and encouragement of my mother and somebody else, something else there, helping and guiding? That's how I feel.
This is Open House, and Miss June Delly Watkins is our special guest. We'll podcast this via the openhouse.net.au. How did that latent faith then begin? Were you sent to Sunday school, or where did the initial ideas come from?
I never heard. See, at Watson's Creek, there was just one little school, and there were about 18 of us who walked or rode a horse or rode a bike to that one school, so there were no churches. But when I finally went to high school in Tamworth, I used to just go to a church. It was Sunday. I'd find myself in a church. I wouldn't even know whether it was Catholic or Church of England or what. I'd just love to be there. And I'd sit there and just feel absolutely thrilled and happy and kind of full of life and joy being there. And when my mother and I came down to Sydney, I still found myself doing the same thing. I think I was just guided.
You were the most photographed model of the year in 1949.
You see, that makes me 25.
That's right, it
Everybody's now adding up their fingers and their toes. That's right. And saying,
With this kind of sense of faith, was there ever a sense of, well, maybe I'm kind of in too many people's eyes too much or anything like that? Was there ever a wrestle for you to actually be in so many people's households, be on the magazines and the papers, everything?
I never thought about that. I think my mother did. I remember the first model job I was offered was to do a photograph for the mail order catalogue that I knew was going up to Watson's Creek and all the people would see it. I think my mother was excited about the amount of money I was going to make, which was 10 shillings and sixpence. That's about a dollar. You know, way back then I would say, see, I wouldn't even get out of bed for less than a dollar. So how things have changed. But I was always really grateful for every model job that came my way because it brought money to my mother and myself, because there were no model agencies. So my mother and all the other models' mothers had to stay at home and take the telephone calls for the model booking. And I'm thinking, well, this is some more modeling. it'll help my mother and I to buy some more food and to pay the rent. Even when I went out to model, I would think of it more as a business than a glamorous thing. And so when my mother suggested I start Australia's first school of deportment, I worked out how I would do that and then started Australia's first model agency. And I remember clients would say, "No, oh, June, I think a model agency won't work in Australia. We love phoning your mother at home." But they didn't understand that our mothers were confined to staying at home in case they missed a model booking for us. So when I started the model agency and I trained young girls to be very professional models, and clients would understand one telephone call to June and I could book six models. And then the war was over and started, modelling started to grow. And of course, since then, all my schools have grown. You know, we do corporate training now and we train the footballers and the cricketers, and just so that the sportsmen now can present themselves in a gentlemanly way. Okay. And she talks to them about...
You had me wondering there for a while,
yes,
June.
She trains them in presentation and correct speech. And she warns them now, because you're a famous sportsman, you are the idol of young people, so be aware of what you say. You'll find that the standard of footballers now
is going to elevate.
Yes, elevated. Oh, and I have a business college. And
boy, so many things. Yes. And you've mentioned your mother a few times now, yes, and just in the short time that, yes, we've been talking. Obviously, she was a very, very influential person, if not, apart from God, the most influential person in your life?
No, and my grandfather.
And your grandfather?
Because I lived with my grandparents. My mother was a single mother, and in that era, it was a very shameful thing to be. So my mother and I lived with my grandparents on my grandfather's property. My mother really had to stay out there at Watson's Creek until I was old enough for her to leave. And she was a very, very beautiful lady, quite special. She used to always encourage me to have good beliefs. And my grandfather was, I don't know how he would know that. You know, this farmer and former tin miner, how he'd know that you must be punctual and you must be honest and your word is your bond. All those good, fine things he would instill into me. And I just think, way back then, how did he know all those things that grandparents, some grandparents and some parents are not instilling into their children today? And some schools are not instilling. And this is why now, you know, that I have this business college where all the beliefs of my grandfather and the good things that my mother endeavored to instill into me, I teach in the business college and the deportment school I have, and they're old fashioned. That they're worthwhile values, you see. I just believe that you have to present yourself well. You have to dress in a way that's respectable. You have to speak without bad language, and you speak correctly, and you have to have good manners, because it's a good manner. I think it's the beauty that comes from within that makes a person truly beautiful, and that grows old with you, you see. And I don't believe in plunging necklines and short skirts and stiletto heels and lots of makeup and just copying things that are seen on television every night. That, to me, terrifies me, horrifies me.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that, because when you think of the word modelling, the first things that come to mind are everything that you're talking about there, very, very much a sexualized industry to some degree.
Absolutely.
What's gone wrong?
Yes, I think it's the really bad influence, and it's the bad influence now on fashion, trying to be outrageous and trying to attract the photographer's attention to get their photograph in the paper with their name. Now they have to change fashion around and make it wild and wonderful, otherwise they're afraid they won't get into the magazines or into the newspapers. And so young girls, what they see, they copy because they believe, oh, this is the way to be.
That's
this
way
is
to
trendy.
Do it. Way to make it.
I must do that too. I need to look at that. So we try to discourage and to ask them to understand that style is better than fashion. If you can be a stylish person and the style that is right for you and the colors that are right for you and the clothes that are for your figure type instead of just being a slave to fashion. And I find that fashion just changes every season anyway, and it's fickle and it plays with people's minds. And if we encourage young people to be the best they are in a natural way, then they will just be lovely and go on throughout their whole lifetime, improving really, because they have special values that shine from within them. I think beauty should come from within.
Within.
It isn't something you put on your face and wash off at night. And it isn't some clothes you wear and you abandon when that season is over.
June Daly Watkins is our guest on Open House tonight. In your book, The Secrets Behind My Smile, you actually point out that there's a lot of sadness in the lives of many of the models that you see.
Oh, yes.
Why are they sad?
Well, I just think that beautiful young girls can be preyed upon and can be encouraged in the wrong direction, because there are people there who see this beautiful girl and they're waiting to prey on them. And very often models are alone and lonely in different parts of the world. So it's very easy for people to come along and to lead them astray. I think that they have to be very strong and have a very strong mind and a strong will. And they have to belong to a model agency that really cares and looks after them in the very special way. And sometimes they do have sad lives and we only see the best. You know, we have this case coming up with that beautiful Caroline Byrne.
Who worked for you.
On the 12th of June. Yes, yeah. Caroline taught for us and she was a beautiful model and one of the loveliest young ladies.
And she was murdered, it looks like.
Well, we don't know.
I
can't discuss it because it goes to court in June, but it really will be a very big case. Mm. It's an intriguing world, the world of modelling. Yeah. And I do say to all the models, mothers out there, and all the young girls and young men who are ambitious to model, please, please be very selective of the model agency you go to and have nothing to do with anyone who passes out their card to you in the street or into a shopping centre.
Sharks.
Be very careful.
Good advice from somebody who knows, who's been there, been able to experience.
Call me, send me the photographs of your daughter, of your son, and I will advise you whether it's worthwhile and send you to the few model agencies who are really trustworthy.
Reputable.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that you're doing, as if you weren't doing enough, June, is in the New South Wales state, you're standing with the Christian Democratic Party as well. So yeah. Politics now.
But I won't go into politics. I would never do that. I would never have the time. But what I really want is to have Fred Nile in the upper house, who is there to look after and protect, care for all our values, our Christian values, our worthwhile values, all the good things that we want for ourselves and most particularly for our children. And Fred Nile is a very, very good man. And what he believes in, it's the way my heart goes. And that's why I have gone on the ticket for Fred Nile. We need somebody there to look after what we care for.
Another group that you've done a bit of work for is Crossroads International. We spoke to them last year, and they basically take goods that other people don't need anymore, and they're Hong Kong-based now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And they're basically redistributing them to people who can really use them very well.
Through the Lord, it was just a miracle that I met Sally and Malcolm Begbie. They're Australians, and just by a set of incredible, I think, God-given circumstances, they found themselves establishing Crossroads International. And again, by a mysterious God-given set of circumstances, I became their ambassador at large. We all give our time freely. And I guess ambassador at large is to make people aware of Crossroads. But right now I'm putting together a recipe book. And I'm taking recipes from very famous people and dear friends, their favorite recipes, and putting in it in Simply Cooking. And we're going to sell that for Crossroads International to make money for them. Please, I'd love someone to come and help me in Sydney.
What kind of help do you need?
I need people who can come and do writing and phone people and follow up people for their recipes and help me put the recipes together. Physical help that I needed okay. here in Sydney.
All right, so Sydneysiders,
yeah.
you have your mission.
Yes.
So they can get in contact with you through the website?
Yes, that's right. What is my website? I don't know.
I was going to ask you.
I don't know. It's www something.
We'll find it out.
But my email, I know my email address.
What's your email address?
It's junedaly, one word, -watkins at jdw. .com.au.
Well, that would make your website www.jdw.com.au.
I don't know. I'm out there doing things, you know. I don't even have a mobile phone.
Don't you?
No, because people will phone me when I'm away
from
the office.
That's generally the idea, yes. And you don't too much on. You don't need to.
Yes, I don't need a mobile phone to phone or to ring. If people are looking for me, they'll phone my office and I'll receive the message. I don't even have a message machine at home because when I'm away, I want to be at peace with myself
yes.
or speaking to you or whatever I'm doing and not have things ringing. Around
That's
me.
A good point, and you're probably a lot less stressed because of those two decisions, actually.
I think so.
I think you probably are. Look, one more question before you go. To do with modernity, we're talking about mobile phones and things, plastic surgery and modelling
yes.
and the fashion industry.
Yes.
Agree with it? Disagree with it?
Oh, I'm not into plastic surgery or false, anything false, because you can always tell when someone's had plastic surgery. Their face looks drawn and the personality goes. I think that we own every line we have. Mm. And I just think that bosom enlargements and all these things, it says to me that that person is not happy within themselves. You know, I think of our body as the house we live in. I think of our mind as our control tower. And then there's our heart and there's our soul. And if we're not happy with our heart and our soul and that living person inside us, we need to go and have all these artificial things. I'm not for it myself. Yeah. And I find that people who don't like themselves usually get to be bitter and twisted. And that's what one has to be careful of.
Some beautiful wisdom there. Junedaly Watkins, thank you so much for your time here on Open House with us tonight. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.